Good morning, Wake. Got the mic? All right. Good morning. Guys, it's good to see you guys again. I know last week y'all had off because of Easter, and I hope that time was just a special time to be with your family and to celebrate what Jesus did for all of us. If we've not met, my name is Ashton Paddock. I am the Wake resident here at Watermark this year. And this morning, guys, we have something special for you. We're starting a new series. I know. It's awesome. And the series is called Heart Check, Unveiling the Hidden Idols Within. The point of this series is we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks, next 4 weeks, including this week, the hidden idols that are within our hearts, the idols that take root within our lives that lead to surface level sins that we might not even be aware of. And so we're going to talk about four major idols, and we have to answer the question, first of all, what is an idol? And maybe in your mind, you might have an idea of what an idol might be. And I have a couple pictures to give maybe what you could be thinking. This is a Hindu idol, right? Maybe it's something you thought of like in the Bible times where they worshiped idols. This might be what you're thinking. You have another picture? Here it is, them worshiping idols, right? Maybe that's what you're thinking of. But within our lives, there are idols that are within that we treat as if they were physical idols, whether that's the idol of approval or of comfort or control or power. And so I want to give a more relatable definition for what an idol might be in our context today. An idol is anything we believe we need apart from Jesus or in addition to Jesus to make us happy, satisfied, or fulfilled. I'll say that again. An idol is anything we believe we need apart from Jesus or in addition to Jesus to make us happy, satisfied, or fulfilled. And so, over the next few weeks, we will be doing a deep dive on four specific idols that take root within our hearts. The first one we're going to talk about this week is the idol of approval. And similar to what you might have in your mind of an idol, you might have your own perspective of what approval means. And so I'm going to give a couple definitions. The general definition of approval is the belief that something or someone is good or acceptable. The belief that something or someone is good or acceptable. In our circles today, in the church environment, in the Christianity, it's seeking affirmation from other people outside of God. Seeking affirmation from other people outside of God. So why is this so important to talk about? I believe every single person in this room, whether you're a student or a leader, has some sort of idolatry when it comes to approval, specifically approval of others. And I want to share a quick story to illustrate this. When I was in seventh grade, the story starts with, there was this girl. I know. And I want to say something first before I continue. I was immature and I do not condone dating whatsoever in middle school or high school for that matter. But there was this girl, okay, in seventh grade. She was in eighth grade. And all the guys were going for this girl, okay? Everybody was trying to win her over. They would try to interact with her, be around her as much as possible, talk to her in a certain way. And so naturally, my seventh grade self, I did the same. And so I would put myself in certain situations to be around her. The things I would say to her would try to win her over. And I would manipulate myself and put myself in certain situations just to be near her. And I won her over. And so I won her over, but with that came this idea of seeking her approval over me, right? And when I won her over and we started dating, if you want to count it as that, I then had to maintain her approval over me because I was scared of being rejected. And the reason why I share this story is because how often in our life do we fear man and we're scared of being rejected? I felt like in my mind that I had to keep doing things or saying things to her to keep her around, to maintain her approval over me. And I share this story with you because I want to tell you what happens when we make the idol out of people's approval over us. And I want to point specifically to the Galatian people. If you would, you can turn now to your Bibles, Galatians 1. That's where we're going to be, starting in verse 6. And we're going to talk about how Paul is writing to these people, Galatian church, and how it relates to the idol of approval. The Galatian people, just for some context while you turn in there, Galatians 1, in verse 6. Context is, Paul had recently just gone to the Galatian churches and preached the gospel to them. He preaches the good news of Jesus to them. Jesus came to this earth to die for them, taking on sin of the world, dying a death that they deserve, that we deserve, being buried, 3 days later coming back to life. That's what we just celebrated last week. And with this good news that Paul was spreading to them, they started growing. The churches started growing in Galatia. But then soon after Paul left, these false teachers started coming in and preaching to them a false gospel. Like, yeah, Jesus, yeah, that's real, but you also have to do works on top of it. You also have to do all these other things on top of believing who Jesus was. And so this false gospel started spreading, and the Galatian people started abandoning what Paul had taught them. And this is where we pick up, starting in verse 6. And I want to share with you 2 points this morning. The first one is we're so easily swayed. The second one is you cannot serve both God and people. So starting in verse 6, Paul is saying to these people, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. I'll pause right there. First point is we are so easily swayed. The Galatian people were so easily swayed by these false teachers who came in right after Paul left and started teaching them this false idea of what salvation means for them. And Paul is shocked by this. And I wonder, in our culture today, how easily are we swayed by people, by man's approval, by what people think of us, how we should act, how we should live, what we should wear. And I want to give you this idea. If we were focused on the truth of God and who he says we are in God's word, coming to Sunday, taking in what we're learning and applying it, we would not even want to interact with the things of this world, knowing it doesn't satisfy. But what happened to the Galatian people? They came in. These false teachers came in and started spreading these false ideas, and it probably started steadily and slowly, and these people started being turned from what Paul was just teaching them to then listening to these false teachers. And when they started on this path, they just completely deserted what Paul had taught them. And how often does that happen to us? In middle school, guys specifically, the locker room, all right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about in the locker room, okay? Typically, there's a ringleader in the locker room. Okay, and this ringleader is leading in some ways of how they're talking, how they're acting, they're doing certain things, saying certain things that shouldn't be said, right? A lot of inappropriate stuff that can happen in the locker room. As a guy, I've been there. As a guy, how easy is it to fall into the trap of saying the things that everybody else is saying or doing the things that everybody else is doing? And why do we do that? Because we're scared of being rejected. We want their approval over us, because if we don't do those things, say those things, then we're weird or not like the rest of everybody else, right? And for the ladies in the room, maybe it's body image. Maybe it's you're so focused on how you look to other people, how you perceive yourself to be to other people, to your friends, that you want to be accepted and valued. This falls in line with fashion, getting the newest fashion trend, buying the newest Lululemon clothes, whatever it may be. Here's something there. They're laughing for a reason. Getting the newest Lululemon clothes because I want to look a certain way to the people around me. There's this fashion trend going on. I'm like, if I don't meet that fashion trend, if I don't look like everybody else, I'm going to be different. And you don't want to be rejected. The people in Galatia were so easily swayed by this different false gospel, which led them to abandoning the gospel. Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Trying to earn the approval of man will be a trap for you. It won't satisfy you. You'll feel helpless and empty. And so I ask this question to you. I want you to consider this question. What is causing you to abandon the gospel? What in your life are you going towards, specifically with the approval of man, that is causing you to abandon the truth that has been taught to you? This leads me to my second point. You cannot please both God and people. Verse 10, continuing on in Galatians 1, Paul astonished, shocked at what's happening in the Galatian churches, abandoning the true gospel that he just taught them. He's like, hey, if anybody else teaches you a gospel different than what I taught you, let him be accursed. He says it twice. He goes on to say, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul is saying, I would rather seek the approval of God over man. And I want to pause here just for a second and think, okay, if we're a Christian living a Christian life, we should model our lives after Jesus. So, okay, what did Jesus do? How did he handle the approval of man, people pleasing? And I want to quote the legendary man himself who was up here 20 minutes ago, Will McElroy. He said this to me, if Jesus was a people pleaser, we would not have the cross. And I think that is so true. If Jesus was a people pleaser, we would not have the cross. Imagine, just picture Jesus' ministry from what you know. Jesus had a lot of conflict in his ministry. People were constantly disagreeing with him because they were broken, sinful people. And they thought how Jesus should do his ministry, how he should act, should be in a certain way of their thinking. And Jesus didn't listen to that. They didn't understand his grace, his love for them. They didn't understand why he was there. But if he would have been a people pleaser, seeking the approval of man, that would have led him down a path of sin, and Jesus was perfect. And we would not have had the cross. And so from this passage in verse 10, I want to talk about three ideas that Paul brings up. The approval of man, the approval of God, and servant of Christ. What do those mean? First one, approval of man. I want to state this. You can earn man's approval. You can earn it. It's possible. It's doable. But it will fail and won't satisfy, and it's conditional. It is possible to get man's approval, and it can feel good to get man's approval. You might be the most popular kid. Man, I made it. I'm him. Whatever it may be, I'm the best in whatever sport. I have all of man's approval, but it will fail you and it won't satisfy. So I want to give you this picture. What happens when you're in middle school, you're in eighth grade, you're top dog, best at whatever. Guess what happens next? You move on to high school. You're bottom of the food chain. You're a freshman again, right? You're striving so hard in high school to become the most popular kid, the best at whatever sport you're playing. You become a senior. You're like, I made it. I'm top dog again. What happens after that? College hits. You're a freshman again, bottom of the food chain. You're just constantly in this rat race, striving after man's approval, and you will never truly get it to where it's unconditional. And I said this in the beginning several times. I want to see if you picked up on it. When we're striving after man's approval, what is it that we fear the most? Rejection. That's the biggest thing we fear the most. That's why we strive after man's approval, because we don't want to be rejected. When I was in high school, senior year of high school was supposed to be the best year for me when it came to sports, basketball specifically. A couple months ago when I talked about basketball and just how I grew up playing it my whole life. And so senior year comes, and this is supposed to be the best year for me when it comes to basketball. My senior year, supposed to lead a lot in stats, whatever it may be, leading the team. But the summer before my senior year, I worked a full-time job, and I wasn't able to train with my team. And outside of working full-time job, I trained on my own because I had to work a full-time job so I could save money for college. But as school started in August and preseason started and fall practices started, in between this time period, the coaches would select team captains. And I'm thinking to myself, out of three captains on the team, I'm a senior, I'm a point guard, I lead the court on the court already by facilitating, I'll be team captain. This is going to be the best year, team captain, senior year, leading in so many ways. Come to find out, my coaches didn't select me as team captain because I wasn't there for summer workouts. They thought since I wasn't faithful to the team in the summer, how could I lead them in basketball season? And this crushed me. I felt the sense of rejection. And because I was seeking man's approval, my coach's approval, I was so focused on trying to please them and make them think differently of me throughout the season, and I lost my confidence. And what was supposed to be the best season of my high school career ended up being one of the worst seasons. So much so that after I came back from an injury, a sophomore guard took my starting position as me being a senior. And so that fed into the fear of rejection even more. I say all that because finding your approval in man hurts us. It doesn't satisfy us. It disappoints us. And some of you have experienced that. Some of you have had friends where you mess up or do something wrong and they no longer look at you the same, or they no longer want to be friends with you. Or maybe you're playing a sport and similar to me, you're an athlete and you can't seek the approval of your coach and he looks down on you compared to the rest of your teammates. And you're striving in this rat race of trying to seek his approval. That's the approval of man. It will fail you. Approval of God. What does that mean? As you can earn man's approval, I want to say this. You cannot earn God's approval. You cannot earn God's approval. You might be thinking, wait a second. I thought God loved me. Like, he sent Jesus to die for me. What do you mean I can't earn his approval? You can't earn God's approval, but through Jesus we have it. Ephesians 1 paints this picture of if we're in Christ, if we trust in what Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross for our sins and coming back to life, conquering sin and death, we have these spiritual blessings. God has chosen us, adopted us, redeemed us, forgiven us. And when we're in Christ, we have that. So we can't earn God's approval, but through Jesus, we have it. We are undeserving of that approval. This matters so much because when we're swayed by people, swayed by what they think of us, by their approval, when we live out our identity in Christ, it does not matter anymore what they think of us. Knowing that we are in Christ and our satisfaction is found in Christ. And Paul states in verse 10, he says, okay, so if I were still trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. What does a servant of Christ mean? In this verse, servant literally means slave. I'm like, wait a second. Paul's trying to be a slave to Christ? I thought slave is a negative term. In this passage, Paul is saying, I want to be a slave to Christ, obeying all things he asks of me. Why? Because he satisfies. He's our refuge in times of trouble. He's our comfort. He heals us. He forgives us. He crowns us with mercy and righteousness. He has what's best for us. And so I ask these questions. Are you hurting right now? Do you feel stuck? And if so, do you really think the approval of man will satisfy that hurt or that longing? Do you feel like you're in this pit and like, man, like I'm not the most popular. One of my friends hurt me and I'm trying to seek their approval. Do you really think if you keep striving for that, that will satisfy you, knowing that man's approval is conditional? It will not last. Paul is saying, Jesus offers us so much more. I want to be a slave to Christ. And when we are not servants of Christ, slaves to Christ, and we want to seek man and their approval, we are leaving behind the blessings that God offers us, as I mentioned in Ephesians 1. All the things, all the benefits he gives us that we are so undeserving of, we walk away from all that when we're running to something that it leaves us hopeless and unsatisfied. Paul does not care about what people's opinions of him are. He doesn't care about that. He only cares about the gospel and pleasing God. So I ask you, are you a servant of Christ? In this room today, can you honestly answer the question and say, yes, I'm a servant of Christ? Or are there things in your life you're like, no, I'm not a slave to Christ? As I finish, I just ask this question. Why is this so important to get? This message, like, why is it important? Proverbs talks about 25:10, when the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous are established. Someone seeking the approval of God is on a solid foundation. And when the wind of life comes, they're secure. When someone falls and is knocked down, and when the winds of life come and they're not on the foundation of Christ and they're seeking the approval of man, it'll be harder to get back up and they will fail. And so, going over the points one more time, we're easily swayed. We cannot please both God and man. And so I ask the question, in what ways are you seeking the approval of man today? Maybe it's social media. Maybe you post certain things on social media to portray yourself a certain way so you are liked and people want to be like you. And people will look up to you because to you, that's what's valued. Maybe it's athletics like me. Put all your time and effort into these sports, growing up playing sports, to seek the approval of your parents or your peers or your coaches. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe you're trying to seek the approval of man through popularity, knowing, man, if I can be the best, most popular guy or girl, I'll have everybody that loves me. But what happens when they don't? And I'm not saying this because I can't relate. I'm saying this because I can. I've been where you've been. So have your leaders. I'm sure your leaders can give story after story where they sought the approval of man and it didn't work out. And I still struggle with fearing man to this day. And to be honest and transparent with you, when I'm on this stage, part of me, and I'm so tempted to feel this, I want your guys' approval. I'm like, well, I'm in middle school. I want your guys' approval. I want the leader's approval. I want my team's approval. That's a real temptation for me as I'm staying on the stage right now, because I want you guys to perceive me a certain way, or that I'm a good speaker, whatever it may be. That temptation is real for me, and it's wrong. I'm not seeking your approval. I'm seeking Christ's approval, and I already have it. And it's so easy to feel that temptation. And so as I close, I want you to close your eyes. I want to ask you a couple questions. I want you to just ask the Spirit to work in your life in right now. Ask the Spirit to reveal right now what it could be in your life that you have the idol of approval. Ask that question right now. Where in your life do you have the idol of approval? The second question I want you to ask is, what is causing you to abandon the gospel? What is causing you to abandon the gospel? What in your life, in what areas are you trying to seek the approval of man that you are abandoning the truth of God's word and abandoning the identity that he gives you in Christ? Father, I just am so thankful for this opportunity. I pray that these students and these leaders would not go about their weeks trying to seek the approval of man, knowing that it does not satisfy them. It will fail them over and over again. Even when it seems like things are going well, it will fail because they're seeking the approval of sinful, broken people. And I pray that today you would convict them of any area of their life where they are trying to strive after the approval of man and not just being satisfied in you and the approval that we have that's found in Christ. I pray that throughout this week, they can just honor and glorify you through what they say and do. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.